religion. You know that? This is the day that mankind got kicked out of religion and into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is the day we celebrate. It's called Pentecost. It's when the power came down. The power came down and it ignited the church. And it's been on fire for 2,000 years. Woo! I'm telling you what. God said, I want you to celebrate this, Susan. Forever. Pentecost. Because we need to remember who we are and who the Holy Spirit is. Amen? Yeah, you need to know this. Wake up, church. Wake up. I'm telling you what, you're called into battle. And he's going to empower you with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And you got to want that thing. I want to show you. Son, come here a second. Can you just walk behind me a minute? Come here just a second. Come on. Come on, son. You're a little taller than I am. A little stronger than I am. A little younger than I am. You know what I'm saying? But just follow behind me a second. Here you go. Now, why does God want us to celebrate Pentecost? Because we can get to the point, get so lackadaisy in a walk, or get so fearful that, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. And so we start crowding down a little bit, and we quit stepping out what God's called the church to do. But all of a sudden, there's a tap on my shoulder. Ooh. Oh, man. I got him behind me. I got him with me. I had nothing to fear. Hey, put him up. Come on. Put him up, you know. I got power behind me. You know? I got power with me, you know. Sometimes we forget the power that we have. And so we don't want to stand up. We don't want to stand up and declare the name of Jesus Christ, okay? We don't want to stand up and put Christ in our lives at our home. No. Because we just start cowering down. Because we forget. It's easy to forget, isn't it? But man, that's just why we celebrate today. We celebrate today because we got power. And it never leaves. It's with us if we want it. Now, hey, get back over there, will you? Come up. Come up. You clean my clock. You know what I'm saying? What's that? Yeah. But where's my power? Ryan! Come here! Come here, Ryan! I need you! I need you! Come on, Ryan! Come on, son! There. Put him up. Put him up. You see what happened? We'll demonstrate this today in the service. Here he comes. Where he's wanted. Where he wants. But we're laying it down. I need you. Amen. Only comes to those who are waiting for him, who wants him, who's going to use him, who's going to be empowered by him. Awesome. And so as part of today, I'm going to bring forth a message. First, I'm going to praise and worship. And everyone's always kind of searching, do we have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the empowerment? You know? Because as we linger for him, as we just pour ourselves out to him, say, God, I need, I want you. Holy Spirit, he says, I'll give the Holy Spirit to those who seek him, who wants him, who will use him, who's one of my children. Wow. I mean, the last thing I would want to do, or you would want to do, thank you, then, if he's my colonel, and I'm just a fellow walking around I'm visiting the army base, okay? And he walks up and gives me a machine gun. Hey, have this, will you? Oh, thank you, but what a look how dangerous it would be. Give me a mighty weapon like that. But I have to seek, I have to join. I have to, come on, train me. Come on, I'm going to train you. Then as you ask, as you advance, I'll pour into you more and more power. Amen. We got to have a heart for him. It has to be that I want you, God, above all things. Amen. I don't want nothing in this stinking world. It has nothing to offer me. But I'm shouting out to you, Lord. Use me. Man, that's a person I can use. That's the person I'm looking for. You know what I'm saying? Woo-wee. You know? And he says with the power we have, and that's what he's doing today. He wants to recognize the power that he gives us through the Holy Spirit, that we can overcome anything. And the instruction he gives us, we can do it. Yes. You know, I mean, right now, if my wife would go out there and grab a hold of Kenny and Chuck and get a hold of Greg there and Bob and thump on a little while. Are you nuts? But she said, now take Ryan with you. I said, well, come on, man. In fact, Ryan can go first. I'll stay behind him. You know what I'm saying? Put him up, you know. And so, thanks, son. That's the same thing that God does for us, folks, you know. We have an awesome commission. We have an awesome God, you know. And he'll never ask us to do anything that he won't empower us to do if we allow him, you know. And I think we all maybe in school, not me, of course, but you might have run your mouth to the wrong person a couple of times. Maybe not. Okay. But you find out pretty quickly, if you don't run your mouth, better back it up. You know what I'm saying? And God is saying, God doesn't run his mouth. I'm not saying he runs his mouth, but what he says, he backs up. And you can guarantee that. You can guarantee on that today. So that's what we're looking at this morning. Then we're going to praise and worship. We're going to seek the face of God, and just an awesome thing. Ah, praise God. Woo! I'm fired up now. I'll tell you what. My land. Wow. But anyway, hey! Good morning! Glad to have you here. And the church is open back up again, and I don't know if I called everybody and told them that, to pass the word out. I'm going to send a newsletter out tomorrow, hopefully to everyone, let them know that Friday and Sunday is open again. And we're doing a little wider spacing as normal. And again, if you feel like you want to wear the mask, folks, you can wear the mask, please. No one's going to make fun of you. No, Bob, I'm not wearing a bag over my head. I heard you say that, okay? And we are Browns fans. Yeah, that's true. We'll wait to October on that. Again, we continue to stand on Psalms 91 and even Psalms 23. Says, if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, but thy rod and thy staff is with me. And that's just some promises he has out here to his children. And so as we grow in faith, we'll stand more and more in the word. And it's awesome to be gathered here and worship him this morning. Yes, Bruce, you may speak.
Sometimes in my life, even when I come to church, sometimes I don't feel like praising or praying or worshiping. And sometimes we have to trust God. He keeps poking at us a little bit. Sometimes we got to step out in our faith or in our flesh and also in our faith to make the move to go praise and worship him. And then after you're out there, you start a little bit, it just seems to get big.
Come on. Come on.
And I've had that in my life.
Oh, yeah, come on.
And there's times you don't feel like
I know.
You just come to church and sit.
Phew.
When the Spirit's here, jump in. Amen.
Exactly. And it's so awesome because who likes to sit around a bonfire at nighttime? Anybody? Oh, I'm telling you, smile. I love having a big old bonfire and one of Chuck and Marty's cows on the roaster. You know, it's fantastic. But you know, that bonfire starts with a wee little match.
Amen.
That's what you're talking about, Bruce.
Amen.
You know, boy, I have the big bonfire, but I just don't feel like it. We'll just strike that little match, and it'll do the rest. And we come over mouth up to praising the Lord. That spirit within us, it'll just raise up. And man, our spirits together here, I'm telling you what, this is the body of Christ that we gather here this morning. So, amen. So,
your faith not works
instead.
Sometimes God wants us to take that first step. Oh,
come on. It's kind of like when I was back here, around my mouth to Kenny and Chuck, them guys. You know, I had y'all for Ryan. I take the first step. I need help here. You know what I'm saying? Well, same here with them, you know. And I don't care. Even in marriages, you had those boom, boom moments, you know. And they had those, you know, you just kind of like going through. And you're like, hey, I want to spark this back up again. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. Stir it up, you know. Wow. Yes. And where the world is today is trying to put your fire out, you know. He's trying to scorch you a little bit. Amen. Just give up all hope. There's nothing you can do about it, he's saying, you know. But Satan's a liar, you know. Now, our country's in great turmoil right now. I guess we had several police officers shot last night and killed during these riots and stuff, you know. It's just going on and on and on. And when evil gets a chance to raise his head, I mean, we go from we have the right to readdress, we have the right to protest, okay, but it's a peaceful assembly. But then that just gives the opportunity to those who are evil to step in there and just go, wow, just go berserk on that. Amen. Some of the signs he says that a love for one another will grow cold, you know, and be boastful and just think about ourselves all the time. And then, of course, when he said that, he's talking about the church. You know that? He's talking about the church will get to the point they'll be greedy, they'll be self-centered, lovers of self, and they look like a church, but says they lack the power thereof. And what's the power? It's the Holy Spirit. Why do they lack it? Because they don't seek God. You know, as individually and as a corporate, you know. But man, there's power in the name of Jesus. Man, oh man. Praise God. Mm-mm. Well, I tell you what. If you have your Bible, let's look into the Holy Spirit for a moment. Mm-mm. And again, I can't express enough to you that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is a real person. You have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. And understand this as we go through here, is that the Holy Spirit doesn't have a body. He doesn't have a physical body. He's a spiritual body. So he lives in you. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And again, he comes to the... Maybe you're not quite sure. You're born again, but you're not quite sure what I'm talking about. What is it? I mean, I get baptized. I repented from my sins. This is like the saturation of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my lands. And folks, seek him. Now, I've testified, was it Friday night I was talking about seeking the Holy Spirit? I went to Columbus one time, R.W. Shambach laid his hands on me, an old-time preacher, you know. And what they do, they can be part of their style of ministry upon you through the Spirit, you know. And man, what I wanted, it made a difference. When I came back here, and the next Bible, I mean, totally transformed me. My heart's desire was this. And again, God gives you the desires of your heart. I said, Father, I want to be able to stand up, open my Bible up to a scripture, and I want to preach it. Because, nothing wrong. I was spending hours and hours preparing my message on a Sunday, which is fantastic, amen? But how I would do when I first started, I had a tape recorder. And I would go out on the hillside, and I'd just pour my heart out and then get and speak into it, you know, record it, give it to my wife, and she'd type it up for me. It's awesome to have a school teacher, secretary. But man, I look at the fellows of old, and they would get caught upon, and they'd stand up. Well, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that wrote this Bible that you have. Amen. And it's the Holy Spirit will bring it back to you. That's amazing. Again, it's like reading a Charles Dickens book. I guess he's an author. He's the only one I can think of. What did he write, Charles Dickens? Christmas Carol. Okay, well, the only author I remember offhand, you know. But it's like reading a Christmas Carol and having questions about it and have Charles Dickens standing beside you and explain it to you. Oh, my lands. So that's what the awesomeness of this Holy Spirit is. And again, he comes and he wants to reside with us. He wants to be in us. He wants you to have the victory for the Master. Because remember, the minute we got born, the minute we received you, I keep walking around here. I'm glad I'm not trying to video this today. Oh, I got to go around and forget what I was going to say. Oh, my land. But the minute... Oh, I knew what it was. I get right this way. I'm so excited. I have so many folks here with me today. Man. But the minute... If you can sit here today and say, yes, I've been born again. I showed my life to Jesus. At that moment, you died. See, this is a thing... Oh, man. Listen to me. That's the thing we forget about in Christianity. We don't realize that we die when we give our life to Jesus. Okay? What we try to do, we try to hang on to the world and walk with Jesus, and it don't work that way. There's a big conflict in us, you know? When you say, man, why you get so giddy, why you so upbeat, why you so happy, why you so joyful, it's total surrender, and it's beating the old man down. And when I say that, it's every day, guys. Every day, the old cardinal part will try to come up somehow or along the line. And it's a nope. No. Starkey Lawrence was buried with Christ. Christ now lives in me, and I'm not going down that road. It's daily. But the minute we don't, we say, well, yeah, but I'm telling you what, then we just went down the wrong road. We're going, I'll tell you what, all right, you're walking away from the Lord, okay? We have been called. Each one of you here has been called to be the light of the world, those who follow in Jesus. He didn't say how dark it would be. He's still called to be the light. And you're called to be the salt of the earth. And this is, remember, how can we do this? The Holy Spirit. You are called to be the salt, and salt adds flavor. Amen? What's better flavor to add anything than God? Okay, taste and see the Lord is great. Amen? Amen? So, when you're involved in a conversation, you have been called by the Lord to put salt in that conversation to make it tasteful. Not to add bitter herbs to it, but for us to bring salt. And that's a witness thing, you know. Otherwise, even the worst thing that we can see, find something in it. We're called to show hope. And that's why I say it comes back down to trying to beat, and I don't mean beat, but not let the old man or the old woman, not calling you a woman, okay? but it's not allowing the old self, who demands that we have the right to do this, we have the right to do that, and I'll tell you, it's in there, Jesus, speak through me. Right. You know, he says that the work he started in you, that he will finish it if you allow him to do that. And you know, there's one person that doesn't want you to finish it. That's the devil. And he will try to get amongst us. He'll try to get him in a twist and turn. And oh, my land sakes. And we have to recognize that. But I'm telling you, to realize this. And again, it's being a disciple of Jesus. A follower of Jesus, you know? He didn't say in, I believe Mark 16, he didn't say go in all the world and make churchgoers. He didn't say go and make pew setters, did he? He says to make disciples. And a person has to desire to be a disciple. You have to desire, yes, I want what the Lord has. I want the follower of Jesus, don't matter what, you know. Man, teach me his ways. Show me, I don't understand here, Bruce, I don't understand. Well, let me tell you what the Holy Spirit showed me. Oh, man, that's how we become a disciple, having that desire. Amen? Look how simple it would be for us, though, if he said, hey, listen, go out and tell everybody to come to church at 10 o'clock on Sunday and sit in the chair, wait, sit there for an hour and go home. Well, we can do that. But no, it's so much deeper than that. He's saying, hey, listen, come to me. Surrender your life to me. I'll take away your death penalty. I'll give you eternal life. But die to the things of the world. Follow me. Follow me. Don't let the cares of the world get you down. Don't sit there and worry about what you're going to eat today. I'm going to take care of you, okay? And don't worry about clothing. I got a Goodwill on the corner. See what I'm saying? Seriously. I mean, that's what I said. So if we got food, shelter, and clothing, what else do we need? Well, we got the Lord. That's what we're going to say. Yeah, amen, brother. We got the Lord. Thank you. So everything else you have above that today, that's a bonus. Think of that. It's awesome. And so if we can get ourselves down to those three things, man, the peace and the joy of the Lord rests on to a lot more. It really does. And so, again, going back to the world, how many times people tell you need this to be happy? You got to have this to be happy. You got to look like this to be happy. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able to do this when you're happy. It all comes out. Trying to convince you that this three here isn't enough. Now, I'm actually, anybody ever travel, ever spend the night in a hotel? Anybody spend the night in a hotel? Nobody has. Somebody has. All right. Wow. Did you know you got to spend the night there before you got there? Yeah. But yes, yes. Now, when you went, did you pack up everything in your house? You didn't take your refrigerator, your freezer, your color TV? No, VCR, your dog, your cat, we might eat the whole cat. No. You went there because you ain't going to be there temporarily. Amen? Now, can you imagine how frustrating it would be if, listen, my man, well, hey, let's spend the weekend at, where do we want to go? Salt Fork. Let's spend the weekend at Salt Fork. Oh, so on Tuesday, I go down, I get the stock trailer from Chuck and Marty. I get you right in my vision today. Chuck, Marty, can I borrow your stock trailer? Yeah, so it ain't going to help you, though. Okay. I back it up to my house, and I start loading everything up on that trailer, because we're going away for a couple of days. And I carry it out. You see how frustrating it would be for 5 days loading that trailer up just to go someplace for 2 days? Oh, I'd be wore out. I'd be so frustrated. Oh, but I'm telling you what. He said, hey, let's go to Salt Fork. We got this cabin we can rent, and it's got your appliances. It's even got a bed. It's got a stove. It's got a refrigerator. Everything, wow, all week long. Man, I just can't wait. I can't wait. I'm not frustrated. I don't have to pack up everything in my house and take it with me, you know. Woo-wee. No, I go. I can enjoy it. And that's where God wants us to be a walk with Him. To understand, first of all, our needs will be met. Everything else is a bonus that we don't have to have that frustration. Knowing that as you follow me, so that's the key thing to this. As you follow me, the Master says, you're my disciple. You know, I'm entrusting you with the ministry I started, so I'm going to meet your needs. And then we see where the Master, he ate fish. That's why he sent us Joshua. We haven't seen any fish yet, Joshua, but we know you're catching them, you know what I'm saying? But man, what did he have? He wore plain clothing, my understanding. You know, he didn't have a home. He hung out with friends or slept in the water. But he did the thing that God called him to do. You know? And when we can truly allow that to resonate in us, that can be our foundation with Jesus. Man, as we build upon that, man, we enjoy life more. I mean, have you ever had your car break down? Amen? Have you ever been in life without a car? Yeah. Amen. So when your car breaks down, we're not happy about it, but don't let it get you down. There was a time we had no car at all. God either gave you 2 feet, horse and buggy, a bicycle, or gave you a friend. Yes. Amen. You know? We're going walking this week, but thank God I was driving last week. You know, next thing you know, he sends somebody along to pick you up. See, but if we're not careful, we put our joy in that car, or whatever it might be, and the minute it breaks down, we lose our joy. Our joy should always be in the Lord. Hey, supply, hey, you gave me that car, I had it for 3 years, it broke down. Hey, Lord, you said let me know. Hey, I need a car, or a truck. Camaro, you know, and just as we follow him, because you are an Uber driver for the Holy Spirit. An Uber driver, I'll explain it to you as best as I can, is someone who's got a car who wants to make money, and you can call them wherever you're at, and they'll pick you up and take you wherever you want to go, and you pay them for it. Okay? Kind of like a taxi cab, but more on a personal level. And you can have fancier cars. I think, what did Vince have that one time? Was a Porsche guy showed up in? He broke down in D.C. He didn't break down. He takes a train to D.C. from Fredericksburg. It's about an hour drive. And he got up there and had emergency. He had to go to the hospital with his bride. No way to get there. I called an Uber driver. I think it was a Porsche he pulled up in and took him directly from there to the hospital, a 20-minute ride for $115 or whatever. So if I ever get in D.C., I need a ride, I'm calling for a Volkswagen. You know what I'm saying? But he called upon them, and they took me where we wanted to go. Well, that's us. We're here today. Many of us are here today because we have heard the calling of the Lord. We surrender our life to Him. And now with the Holy Spirit, we are the Uber driver. Holy Spirit does where we go. You know, sometimes we say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there. I don't know what I'm going to say. Brother Bruce says, man, I don't feel like coming to church sometime, but man, I come anyway. Because you brought the Holy Spirit with you. And when that Spirit raises up in you and raises up just behind you and over here, man, you just feel the presence of God. I'm telling you, it's awesome. It's awesome. So remember that whatever God has laid upon us to do, we can do it with the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, then we're trying to do it in our own body, and we do some things, but it's going to fall because it won't be everlasting. Because when I speak right now, and somebody's going, yeah, you know, I share the Word of God, yeah. Well, it's the Spirit of God in you agreeing with what I just spoke, because, again, the Holy Spirit wrote this. That's awesome, you know? And if you say, oh, yeah, I hear that, but I don't believe it, then you got an issue going on with the Holy Spirit. Folks, it's one thing not to understand. There's a lot here I don't understand yet. I don't understand why there are mosquitoes. Okay? But I know God made everything for a purpose. Someday I might understand why we have mosquitoes. But that's not going to crash my faith in God. You know what I'm saying? So you have things that you won't understand yet. Well, if you don't understand it, dig into it. You know, that's how you study the Word of God. There's a lot of things about my life my wife still don't understand about me. And she is still trying to figure it out. She hasn't walked out on me. Oh, yeah, I'm still going to try to figure Starkey out. You know what I'm saying? But it doesn't interfere with our relationship. And saying here, God, when you be a lot of times you read it, you won't quite understand. Well, that's where you stop. That's why we don't just read the Bible. We study the Word of God. And when you find something you don't quite understand, you dig into it. Or call the pastor. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. It's like my wife. There's some things about my wife. When we started dating, even got married, I didn't understand. No, I didn't. And I never understood until I got into her childhood. How the environment where he was raised in. Then it brought me an understanding more. Then I knew how I could help. Amen? And that's the same way with the Word of God. Man, we study this. I mean, for this to be the center of our life as a disciple of Jesus. And when I say the center of your life, folks, I'm not saying that you got to sit in your house all day long and read the Bible and sit there and pray. No, I mean, I'm picking on Chuck again. Chuck and Marty can be outside making hay, mending posts, fence, and still praising God. Amen. I mean, that's how we do it. That's inside of it, whatever we're doing. It's praising Him and all things that we're in, you know. If we lose a cattle got loose, Lord, help me find it. Because I know you see where it's at. And oh, thank you, Lord. And then we give Him praise because we found the cattle. I mean, it's just all this. It's, what's that? It's over Stark. At the first place he looks, man. Well, we only got 99 head today. Yeah, Starkey's got one. I see that bonfire going on over there, you know. But see, it's just allowing it. All that we do at this center of my life. And you get up in the morning, this is the best way to start, is in the Word of God. Let it get your mindset. Because I'm telling you, the world's waiting to pounce on you. But Jesus called us to be more than conquerors. We are victors. Amen? Amen. But we're going to have you turn somewhere. Did I tell you yet where to go? Okay. Let's go to Matthew, the third chapter. Anybody warm in here or just me? We got a lot of hot air in here today. Okay. Which is good, it's warming up. I'm going to turn the air on, huh? Excuse me, I just had to get behind you here. I know I could tell you, but it's easier to do it. Yeah, I'm not that mechanically inclined. Matthew, the third chapter. And let's go to verse 13. Now, as we get to this point, here we have Jesus. He is 30 years old.
For 30 years now, he has been out upon the earth. He's a carpenter, doing things that from a zero up to 30-year-old would do. We would find him at one time, he's 12 years old. And we showed that Mother's Day that Mary lost Jesus for 3 days. Forgot he wasn't with her. Which really, you know, we talk about that, but it's really a compliment to Jesus. If you don't know your kids ain't with you for 3 days, you must be a well-behaved child. You know what I'm saying? Because that peace all of a sudden, like, okay, what's going on here, okay? Now, at 12 years old, he was found to be in this temple, synagogue, teaching. They marveled at him, and he spoke as if one that knew what he's talking about. But he never preached. He was teaching, okay? He read the scriptures, and he read it with authority. Wow. But in verse 13, we're talking about John the Baptist, he's baptizing people. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Wow. So he was baptized, came up, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. Now he was ready to step into ministry. He's ready to step into the calling that the Father had put upon him from the beginning of time. And what did Jesus do? He ran down the street, opened up a church, put on a pot of coffee. Before he did that, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Holy Spirit said, come on out here. And we went out here, preparing Jesus for the calling upon his life. Because he had some tremendous thing coming his way that he was going to have to endure, okay? And the only way he could endure that was the strength of the Holy Spirit. And after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. 40 days and 40 nights he fasted, he prayed, seeking God's will. But he became hungry, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now let's stop there for a second. Look at that. Go without eating for 40 days and 40 nights. How much of our bellies be growling? Yeah, I've been 7 days before. That's the longest fast I've ever. I can imagine 40 days. Okay? But there you are. You're at your weakest physical point, but you're at your strongest spiritual point. And the devil came and tempted Jesus in the flesh. You're hungry, ain't you, man? Hey, I tell you, these stones, turn them into bread. Eat them. Wow. Now, look at what would have happened if Jesus hadn't had the Holy Spirit. He'd gobble them up. I truly believe that. Because his flesh would say, I'm hungry. His belly's growling. Man, haven't had smelled a McDonald's for a long time. You know what I'm saying? And there it was. But he had such control. Such control over the physical. He quoted back to him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, do you have trouble controlling yourself? Do you have trouble controlling our mouths? Or our flesh. You know? Because what we try to do that in the flesh. But you are given to those who will receive the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, that those who seek Him, who want to do God's will, He will come upon you. He will strengthen. He'll lead you away for a while. So come on, let's get some tough stuff going on here, okay? Let us strengthen your spirit, Lord, because you're trying to fight this battle in the flesh, and this is a spiritual battle that you're fighting. And time again, you're getting thumped, you're getting beat up, because you're fighting it the best way you know how. You've done it all your life that way in the physical. There's a spiritual battle. And I don't care how many times you've stepped in that battle with the greatest desire, I'm done. What's in your life you're trying to stop? You're trying to quit? What kind of thoughts in your head you're trying to get rid of? What are you addicted to? And we try to fight it in the physical. It's a spiritual battle. The physical part of addiction can be removed in 3 or 4 days. It's out of your system. Up to 38. Okay. But the battle then is a spiritual. I can testify to that. I mean, and I can testify, my main addiction was my cigarettes, okay? And now if you smoke, now I get down on you. I'm talking about my addiction. And I want to get rid of that thing. And I don't know how many times I quit. Oh, I quit for 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I went 6 months one time. Wow. Okay? Set free from it. One night I was working. Buddy, if you never smoked, you won't understand this, but he made a fresh pot of coffee and lit up a Marlboro. Oh, it took me back to days gone by. Hey, let me have one of them. 12 years later, I'm still smoking. Okay? I conquered it in the flesh for a while, but boy, inside of me, it was taking me back to it. And the day I called upon the name of the Lord, I surrendered my life to Him. He took it. Boom. He took it. Boom. And now if I ever even think about having a cigarette, I start feeling the heaviness of my heart, my chest. I don't want that no more. You know what I'm saying? It's been 23 years now. But again, that's just what He did for me. Understand? And we're all going through different battles, but I'm telling you what, He wants to set everybody free from any type of thing that you might be addicted to, anything that you just can't stop doing. He'll set you free from that when you surrender to Him, and it takes a time of prayer and fasting. Man, I am sick and tired. I go down the corner on the shop every time I get paid, and I get extra money. I buy stuff from that store I wish I never bought before. Okay, is that really you? Let's fast and pray this week. For you to fast and pray, really seek, okay, Holy Spirit, I need you. I want to overcome these things. Whatever it is, He's there to help you. But you gotta have to want it. You know, we say, God just walk through my house and take away everything that's not pleasing to you. And that a lie from the devil. He ain't gonna walk through your house and take things away from there that you shouldn't be in there. No. You gotta take them and give them to Him and get them out of your house. He gave you authority. He gave you the name of Jesus Christ. He gave you the blood of Christ to speak over your homes. It's how bad do you want it? Sometimes we hang on to things because we like it, but we don't act like we're spiritual and say, oh, I wish God to take this away from me. Well, you need to give it to Him. The Lord, take it. I give it to you. Sell my house and then guard your house and don't come back in. Amen. And you only do that through the Spirit. You only do that surrendering to Jesus Christ completely. Because now it's no longer I live, but He lives in me. And if you can't say that today, then get on your knees, seek repentance, and bind them to your life, and become a follower of Jesus. Amen. Don't become a church setter, a pew setter. Become a follower of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what He wants, guys. Whoa. He wants to remind us who we've called to be. We're all getting them days that, oh, we'll burn out. But didn't you see Jesus in the Scriptures? He would go out by Himself and get refreshed. He had to. He was in the flesh. Never sin. So if the Master went out to be along with God and seek Him, one who never knew sin, How important it is for us who know sin. I mean, who have that sin nature. I mean, we inherit that. But that's where your victory comes from.
Amen.
When we sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No none go with me, shall I still follow. You know, and that's where some of us, we trip up, because when we're following Jesus, look back, and the people who were following with you thought, they're not back there anymore. And so we have a habit of maybe going back here, oh, I better get back here a little bit, man. Hey, where you been? Oh, man, you're just getting too far out there. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking to somebody. It looks kind of weird, probably. This is supposed to be somebody standing there, okay? You know, man, he's following me. What happened, man? He's following the master. You're getting weird, man. I mean, you're talking about this Holy Spirit. You're talking about the power of the church. You're even talking about a prayer language. No, man, I don't want to. Okay, amen. Love you, bro. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I don't despise my brother or my sister.
Right.
They have to decide for themselves if they want to be a disciple of Jesus.
Amen.
And a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Christ, surrenders to the Word of God. Surrenders to the Word of God. And we don't compromise it. You know, we look at, okay, Lord, I don't understand this. God, help me out here. You know? We see the second part down in verse 7. Let's go to verse 5 again. Then the devil, this is Jesus, just got back from his time of prayer and fasting. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. Now, folks, if you're here last Sunday, that's the same temple that James was on. They got shoved off. Remember when he broke his legs? I was showing Jesus' brother right before he died. If he wasn't here, just give me a quick bunny trail. James, the brother of Jesus, was doing something Jesus did. Preaching love, God's forgiveness, repentance of sins. The scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees hated James the way they hated Jesus. And he's on top of the temple preaching to the crowds down below. And they're behind him, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they're saying, shut up, man. You shut up. You recant right now, and we'll let you live. So he had a choice to make. His life. Hey guys, you know, I don't know what it is. I'm wrong, you know. Maybe it's not quite that way, you know. But Jesus loves you. And he could live. But he saw the calling on his life. He saw what the master did. He saw what Jesus did. He saw what his brother, because he was half-brother to Jesus. He saw what he did. He saw the craziness that Jesus had. Courageousness that he had. And that strengthened his brother. And he looked down and he didn't turn around and start yelling about the Sadducees and Pharisees. He didn't take his last few minutes of breath to speak against those who were trying to kill him. No. He took his last few minutes of breath and he breathed life into those who were listening to him. And what did they do? Man, they shoved him off that temple. And when he hit the ground, it broke both his legs. And he got up on his knees and started praying. He said, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Almost like Jesus. Jesus said, Father, he was talking to the Father, and now James talking to the brother, Lord. And when he did that, one of the Sadducees heard him say, hey, wait, don't stone him to death, because he's getting ready to stone him. He's praying for us. And one of the guys got a big club, went up and put him to death. Okay? But that's how much Jesus influenced their lives. And that's the same influence he has today if we allow him through that Holy Spirit. I know nobody here today wants to climb on top of our building and let me shove you off, right? No. We don't go out looking for that. Amen? We don't. How many people like to live? Amen. But what happens, the Holy Spirit will give us strength to do whatever God may call us to do. So we don't have to worry about what tomorrow I'll be on top of the temple preaching to somebody or be preaching to this person. Wherever you go, He'll give you the strength with the Holy Spirit. We don't have to fear mankind. In fact, He wants us to love our enemies. Oh, but there's a master. He's up there. And he says in verse 6 again, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." But then Jesus says this, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And may that rest well with us, you know. We do what God's called us to do, but don't let people put you into the test. Don't you think God's got angels watching over you? You think they're going to watch over and protect you? Didn't we read that in Psalms 91? He says that, man, the angels go forth that know evil. Even if the enemy is trying to put a trap on you, they ain't going to catch you because my angel is assigned to you. That's Psalms 91. And that's, in fact, last week we passed it out. It was the New Living Passion Translation, okay? So, my brother, his promise and your promise for us who follow the Lord, no matter what the enemy's planning on doing, I got your back. Trust in me, okay? Now, God says that He knows the number of days that you have and I have. I don't know. He knew the number of days that John the Baptist had. 30 years, 6 months old, head was beheaded. Okay? Well, how do you have his back? He took him to heaven. He finished his thing. He finished his calling. And we'll do the same thing. So if I say, "Bruce, you're a Christian. You believe all that stuff in the Bible, God's going to watch over you. And He's going to protect you." Come on, man. Come on. You think so? Oh, wait. Hey. Oh. Well, here comes Kenny Wickley down the main street on his four-wheeler at 80 miles an hour. Walk out in front of him. Come on. You said God's going to protect you.
No, it's not a test.
Oh, come on. Get out there. Why not? Oh, I thought it was... Now you say, hey. He said, "Do not test the Lord thy God." Amen.
Times that we weren't told to do that, to go out and stand in front of Him. We did go out and stand in front of Him, and all of a sudden He gets close to you, and all of a sudden he crashes.
Right.
The Lord's right there letting no evil come near you.
And what Bruce is saying, that if you're led by the Lord to do something, He's watching over you. And what the world will try to do, get inside of you, just poke you a little bit, like poke the bear. Get him wired up, you know what I'm saying? And then you'll lose all thought of the master. You're like, "I'll show you I'm not scared." And next thing you know, Kenny Wickley driving over the top of him. You're laying in the middle of the street flopping around like this, you know. And I said, "Bruce, why did you do that?" "Yeah, God said not to be tempted." "Oh, I know, Starkey, but the old man raised up in me." But yes, we got to watch out for that. And people love to challenge us on that all the time, you know. Then the third temptation in verse 8. "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him." Now, what's interesting when the devil says, "Look at this. All these things I will give you." Understand that Satan was in charge, he was in control. He was cast down from heaven. He is the God of this earth. Okay, not the God of the heaven and earth, but he's in charge. You know, he's cast down, and mankind, or Adam, transferred the deed to Satan when we sin. Okay? But Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, said, "Go! It is written, I shall worship God and God only. I don't worship power. I don't worship things in this world. I don't put my life out there just to have these things. No, I worship God. And allow God to bring to me what He wants me to have." And that can be a temptation, a great temptation for all of us. I mean, some of you like boating. Some of us like four-wheeling. I like to drive around on a new John Deere tractor, okay? Nothing wrong with those, okay? But in order for me to have a new John Deere tractor, if I have to sign up for overtime, start working Sundays, not come in my fellowship, and now I got to work to pay off that tractor, who am I worshiping? You know, I got to watch myself. Now there's a difference. Now, let me say this, because God just spoke to me. There's a difference if you're a farmer. You say, God, I need a tractor. I don't have the money. God said, okay, here's this John Deere. It's a good price. And we'll give you extra work on Sundays for 6 weeks, whatever. You know what I'm saying? God can give you the employment to pay for it if it's something that you need. Is that following? Are you following me on that? Okay. Because we know, there's a difference between wants and needs. And where we get wrapped up so much in chains is we go after our wants and not our needs. And our wants, next thing you know, you ever have payments you got to make and you wish you didn't have to make them? You ever buy something at the time that was a good idea? And then 6 months later, man, what did I buy this for? Okay. We can wrap a chain of debt around us and really hold us down and start losing the joy of the Lord. I mean, my parents, my grandparents, you want it? Save up for it. I wanted a shirt one time, J.C. Penney, my sister Teresa worked there. Blue jean shirt, had snaps on it, Bob. Ooh-wee. 16-year-old, I need that thing, you know? It was $12. I was 15-year-old. It wasn't working outside of the farm yet. It took me 12 weeks to save up enough money to buy that shirt. But I'll tell you what, when I bought it, I took care of it. I appreciated that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't need that shirt. My mother and father supplied all my clothing, okay? I wanted this jean one, you know. Probably saw somebody on TV wearing one like it, you know what I'm saying? But instead of taking on the debt, I saved up to get it. Because what happened, let's say, 10 weeks into the 12-week period, I got $10 saved up, and I broke my shoelaces or something like that. I got money to buy my shoelaces. I need my shoelaces to get my feet, the shoes on my feet. I didn't need that shirt. So just take a step at a time. Okay, God, this is my desire. I like to have this. I'm going to start saving up for it. And then when I get to it, you got the money. You don't have to worry about the debt on it. And that's on things that you need. No, things that you want. And we got to separate the two. Okay, because there are needs that we have. That we do purchase with payments. Amen? Your needs. But the wants is what really wrap us up and then Satan will try to get on top of you and beat you down with it. They'll try to get you to worship everything out there. Back in the day, if your last name is Jones here, I'm not picking on you, but it used to be a saying, trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know, if your neighbor bought a new lawnmower, you got to buy a new lawnmower, a new car, you got a new car, a new boat, just on and on and on. And Jesus wants us to get involved in that. You know, amen. Let's just get my opening started here. I want to share with you just a couple more things here this morning before we step into praise and worship. I just want to Some of the instructions that Jesus, or some of the advice he told the disciples back before he was crucified. And in Matthew 5:38, he says this. So you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy? But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteousness. Wow. Now, that is his instructions to us, his disciples. Now I'm going to share a couple more here, then we're going to put it together, okay? And this next one I'll be sharing from will be in the book of John, the 15th chapter of John. And this stuff he's sharing is why I believe he went from having thousands of people following him to 120. You know, when he fed people, when you see the first time he had a couple loaves of bread and a couple of fishes that the boy had, he fed 5,000 people. 5,000 people had come out. And for 3 days, man, yes, they listened to him. And he fed them. Then the next account we see there's 4,000 people that came. So was something he said earlier that 1,000 didn't come back? I don't know. But the time we get to the upper room of day of Pentecost, there was only 120. Now I say there was only. I mean, praise God, there's 120. But where's the rest of them at? Where are the other ones who's following him, who's on the hype? You know what I'm saying? It's easy to get wrapped up in a hype, right? Right now, it'd be a parade out there. Hey, man, there's blowing up balloons and passing out candy. Hey, that's good, man. Wow, this is exciting, ain't it? Woo! Listen to the band playing, you know? Wow. And we get halfway down the street, we find out they're celebrating the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh! See what it's how easy it would be? Oh, man, I'm not following them no more. Wow. Well, I believe that's the same way with the Master. He came, and man, awesome is the Spirit of God on him. And people want to be around him. Do you know people just let me around? Just want to hear him talk? No? Everybody's married, huh? No, no. Well, that's what Jesus, I believe, was. And people are listening to him, but when he's getting down to brass tacks, they say, listen, you want eternal life? Amen. You want your sins forgiven? Amen. Boo! You want to be healed from your disease? Amen. Okay, follow me, die to yourself, and be my disciple. And what I want you to do is let me fight your battles. No longer eye for an eye. Oh, I can't handle that. So people are falling away. See, there's a lot more to being a disciple, a follower of Jesus, than just saying, hey, Lord, forgive me, come in my life. That's like my wife, she left me. My wife left me. That's like me and my wife, 43 years ago, I look at her and I say, I do. She goes, I do. That just started things. A marriage is something that's alive, and you have to feed it, and you have to take care of it. But it takes two people, amen? And one might be feeding, the other one's not. So marriages can go downhill. So we understand that. And Jesus looked at us this way, that we're his bride. We are his bride. He's the groom, man. And so we need to feed on his word and let it resonate in our lives. But in John 15:18, here's another part. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Well, that's some of the instructions that Jesus gives us today. But that's the cost of following Jesus. You know, and I think what brings us to that point is we really fall in the love of the Lord. We really fall in love with the Lord when we know exactly what He did for us. And when we truly understand where we are at without God, that we will separate from. And we have a homeless guy that comes in here every once in a while. And sometimes he gets on my nerve a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I love him. I tell him about the Lord and we feed him. And he came in the other day and he was looking for some nails. I said, "Nails?" Yeah, he said, "I'm building me a shack." He told me where it was at. I ran out of nails. I said, "Well, I got some nails at home probably. I can bring them in. Last thing my wife wants to do is try to build anything anyway." But I said, "Man, don't call it a shack." He looked at me. I said, "No, you're building a resort." I said, "You call it a resort. Doesn't it sound better?" "Well, yes, it does." I said, "There you go. You know what I'm saying?" And so I was blessed to have one of the large, great, big blankets that the lady makes out of trash Walmart bags. Have you all seen one? I had one big enough. Yeah, who said no? "Oh, wow. So you go back in the hallway and grab me one, will you?" Well, one big enough that she made so many here lately, we have surplus. And I said, "Hey," I gave it to her. "There, you got flooring now for your resort." Oh, my lands. How excited he was. You know, and I keep praying for the fellow who get back up on his feet. But love your neighbor, he says. And hate your enemy, people tell you to do that. Yeah, open that up. Let me just take a second here and show you this. This is a smaller one. Grab the corner. There you go. See that? There's several thousand Walmart bags that you carry out. They crochet it, knit, or whatever. And that is so heavy. You put it on the ground, protects you from moisture, wrap around you, keep you warm. Put it on top of your head, keeps rain off of you. Wow. And so God had laid that upon somebody's heart. And the one I gave him was twice that size. To bring it in here, when we had too many anyway, I said, "I'll just put it back here and keep it in case we need it." And here he sends this fella in. Let me know. He's been kicked out of many places. People don't want him around. I mean, I actually gave him a coat a few weeks ago, and he went down the store and stole something and put the stuff in the pockets. But you know what? Even that, I'm going to tell you, this is an awesome thing that he did that. I hate to say that. But when the police came and searched him, they found out the coat that I gave him, who came to me about 4 months ago, that the couple had the car keys, the house keys in the pocket. And when they found these keys in his pocket, he says, "Where are you stealing from?" "Oh, well, Pastor Stokey and the coat is already in there." "Ah, oh, I don't believe so." So he came up and asked me, he said, "Was there keys in the pocket?" I said, "Well, normally I search everything. I can't say for sure." He leaves, comes back, gives me the keys. Then arrest the guy. He was a gummy bear or something he stole, okay? I took those keys, took a picture of them, put them on Facebook, and a guy contacted me 2 days later. Said, "Hey, those are my keys." So I took them down to the kids' America. We were playing pinochle, whatever that thing is they play, pickleball, and gave them back. So, I mean, it's just amazing. And when the guy came in later on, I said, "Please, you know, next time you want to steal, let me know. I'll give something to you, you know." But just how God worked that out, you know? I mean, yeah, he's humorous. But going back to this, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, he's not asking you to do that. Folks, he's not asking you. He said, "You're going to follow me, my disciple? You want to do this. If my spirit is in you, then you're going to want to do this." You know? You're going to say, "Okay, God, I'm representing you here. And I want you." And only way you can do this is, one, is the Holy Spirit. And number two, have a desire to do this. And then do it. Because what he tells us in the scriptures is, "I will send you a helper." Right. Let's get back to Ryan a minute. He's behind me, ready to help me. But I had to ask him to help me. You know? So that whatever you have, whatever, you might have a stumbling block in your life right now, the Holy Spirit will strengthen you in the ways of the Lord to overcome it. Or to get rid of it. And to flush it out, whatever it has to be. But that's what being discipleship is. Man, they're going to hate you. Not because you're obnoxious. They're not going to hate you because of the way that you act. They're not going to hate you for your politics. He ain't talking about that. They're going to hate you because you follow me and share love. They're going to hate you that in the middle of darkness of this world and how ugly it is, there's going to be a light shining. And it's going to be your light shining that the Holy Spirit deposited in you. And they're going to hate you because you won't get on the bandwagon and start running your mouth about everything else. Because why? Because you know that darkness is overcome by light. And we know that a bonfire can be lit by one little match. It's so easy. Sorry, Bob. I'm going to keep preaching behind you. It's so easy to blend in with a crowd. It's so easy to, I know how they're all thinking, and be afraid to speak the truth. But God called us. He didn't give us the spirit of fear. No, He didn't. Give you strength. And have you ever shared the gospel? Ever lived for Jesus? And however you do, and it touches somebody's life, and it draws them to the Lord. Not being of the world, but being in the world. And that's what we're called to be like. Some can receive, and some cannot. You know, and as Jesus was sharing this, man, wow. A lot of folks say, I can't handle this. I want religion back, man. I want to sit down, I don't want to do nothing. I want to have this false sense of security. You know? He said, man, this true discipleship is going to cost you everything. But I'll give you everything in return, he says, you know? That's what it is to follow Jesus. But he tells us, John, I got two more scriptures yet, so. And I know I might be going long, but I have this to share. If you have a need, if you're running late for work, I understand. There's no objections to that. I understand? Amen? But I'll tell you what, it's been a while since the Holy Spirit could raise up and speak to so many here, and you guys are just awesome here. You're saying, feed me, Pastor. Let me understand. I don't want anyone to leave here today. God doesn't want anybody to leave here today without understanding what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Okay? And we have to decide whether we want to follow Him or not. Or, you know, but in John 14, verse 10 to 12, He gives this charge or this comment to the disciples. And to me, it's really exciting in a way. If you're following the Master and you read this, wow, I mean, when I first read it 20 years ago, and Jesus speaks, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works. Otherwise, saying, listen, I'm not speaking on my own carnal body. No, no, no. It's the Holy Spirit within me is bringing forth the word of my Father to you. Right. Amen? Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, disciples, I say to you, Marty, I say to you, Daryl, I say to you, Bob, I say to everyone, he who believes in me, he who follows me, he who is my disciples, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Now, I find that exciting. Now, imagine for a moment, we all leave here and we go, let's go to a gigantic hospital. Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic. Let's all drive up there and we walk through the halls, laying hands on the sick and they're raising up. We empty out the hospital. How awesome that be? Hey, one amen. Anybody else? I got a couple people go with me. How much rejoicing would be going on? The only one's going to be rejoicing is the one that raised up off the bed. You know how many people is not rejoicing? I'll guarantee you'd be 75% more people coming against you than there was praising you. Why? The nurse is out of a job. I'm talking nurse, this is theoretically. The dishwasher is out of a job. The vacuum cleaner out of a job. The doctor's out of a job. The specialist out of a job. The insurance company out of a job. All this, look how much people start coming, they're going to hate you. That's sorcery. That's witchcraft. They're going to convince you, because somewhere in that hospital probably is somebody who's still in religion, and not a relationship with Jesus, and they're going to blame everything under the sun that you've been doing and not give God the glory because they're not involved in it. Think of that. Are you willing to take on that type of persecution to bring God to glory? I mean, you got to answer yourself. I mean, he wants you to understand this is what you'd be involved in. I'm not saying we're going to Cleveland Clinic and lay hands on everybody. I'm just saying that when you do things for the Lord, when you do it as He instructs you, not everybody's going to be pleased about it. And people will come against you. They'll speak against you. They'll make fun of you. They'll insult your God. Can you do that? And can you be insulted without retaliating? Can you let someone tell you that you're crazy, that you're nuts, that you're wrong, and still love them and pray for them? That's what we do. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's why the Master went out there and he prayed and fasted, you know. And then throughout his ministry, folks, you look at it, he continued to pray and fast, you know. He ate food for fuel, but because he knew what he was called for. He knew what he was going to encounter. How much strength would it take to go to the cross and be crucified? Would it take a lot? You know? But the Holy Spirit strengthened him. And as he spoke, and I can say maybe he spoke this in the cardinal, with the leading of the Holy Spirit. In the garden, he says, hey, listen. Lord, it was possible, God. Father, let this cup pass from me. Any other way, boom. That's the cardinal part. But the Spirit within him said, but, Father, let your will be done. And he strengthened him to do the calling. That is discipleship. That is following Jesus. That's what he calls us to do. To live for him wherever he at, be the salt of the earth. And in verse 16 of John 14, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Wow, I mean, prior to this time, the Master, the Holy Spirit would overshadow folks, you know, David and all, to strengthen them. But he said, a time is coming, but he'll not just overshadow, he will live in you. Then in the book of Acts, if you want to turn to the first chapter of Acts, I'm going to start with chapter 1 here. Verse 1 says, the first account I compose, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he has chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his sufferings, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, You heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and even to the remote part of the earth." So he said, "Listen, I'm going away. I'll be in the Father, and we're going to send the Holy Spirit down. I want you to hang out. You stay in Jerusalem until he comes." Now, I wonder at this point. Now, I'm a wondering person there, Bob. You know, always thinking. How many people were there when the Master gave this instruction? I want you to hang out in Jerusalem. Stay there, and we're going to send the Counselor. I'm going to send the Comforter. We're going to send the Power. I wonder if some with them that day heard that. Hey, come on, man. We follow this dude around. We listen to him. But I ain't hanging out here for how long. I got things I got to do. And they left. Yeah. And it's a good thing that they did. If that's their attitude. See, the ones who stayed, it was Jesus. We have decided to follow Jesus. We're convinced He is who He is. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. I owe it all to Him. Man, He rescued me. Whatever you want, Jesus, what? Hang out? I'll hang out there forever. You tell me how long. And so those who had a heart for Jesus, those who wanted to be His disciple, those who sold out to Him, all gathered in the upper room. And they were there for 10 days, the Bible says. 10 days praying and fasting. They weren't sitting around playing pinochle. They weren't playing cards. They weren't talking about the weather. They weren't talking about this or that or the other. They were there with one purpose, and that's to honor and worship God and want all that He has for them in their life. Because they have accepted this challenge. Yes, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Well, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it successfully, I'm going to need that Holy Spirit. Amen? And we are the same way today if we truly want to be disciples of Jesus, and someday may walk away. It takes the Holy Spirit and it takes willingness to surrender. God doesn't force Himself for anything. That's why I say we get the point in our attitude when we talk to people and say, "Hey man, you want to do this? Oh man, I wish I could, but I'm a Christian." Then you're not a Christian. If that's our attitude, we say we can't do it because we are a Christian. No, yo man, I don't do that anymore. Man, the Lord delivered me. You know what I'm saying? We don't blame somebody. It's kind of like, the phone rings at home, you got kids at home. And they start to answer, "Hey, listen. If that's Bob Clark, Tom, I'm not home." Can you pick it up? "Oh, I'm sorry, not home." "Oh, why are we doing a lie? I thought you were the follower of Jesus. I thought, man." See, and don't shake your head, but you ever do that? Don't shake your head. Don't confess to me. But do you follow Jesus? He says, "Let your yes be yes, and your no be no." "Hey, Bob. Yeah, how you doing? Play golfing." "Oh, Bob, I'm a lot better golfer than you. I'm not going to waste my time today. All right, goodbye." "I haven't golfed in 40 years, Bob." Now, I'm not saying you're going to be that blunt, but to be honest, "Hey, Bob, I really don't want to golf." To be honest, you know, I mean, you think though. Girl, tell Bob I'm not home, okay? So, hey, Sarky's not home right now. Boom. Number one, she made a mistake too. Now she's lying. She's part of my lie. But, then let's take me this. I'm still working. I'm in my...
"Honey, you telling."
Yeah. But see what we just did? Okay. Now, here I am. Let's say I'm still working. I'm over in my office. My phone rings. My secretary answers it. And my wife called me. Okay. I'm somewhere. I'm not in the office. "Oh, Carol, he's not here right now." Is he really not there? Or is he there and don't want to talk to me? What's going on? I want to see him. But see what happens? A liar is a liar is a liar. A thief is a thief is a thief. God sets us free from that. Amen? He sets us free. Turn away from that. And he says, let yes be yes and no be no. Amen. And so we just got to watch. Can we build on those seeds? Do you ever have your kids lie to you? But have you taught them to lie?
Probably.
No. Listen now. Have you?
No, that's
have you ever? Have you ever lied to them? Have you ever told them to lie to somebody else? I just tell them that don't get your homework. Don't tell them I took you out for pizza last night and a movie. Well, then if it's okay for you to lie, then it must be okay for me to lie. You see, just things like that teach you things, you know. And that's why the master said, you're going to follow me? Man, I'm going to forgive you all that stuff. I'm going to give you the spirit within you if you want it. Follow me. You're going to be the light of the world. You're going to be salt of the earth. And we're going to do this thing. And we can do this only with him. Then in Acts, and we'll close with this verse here. Now they're all waiting upstairs in the upper room. Acts chapter 2, I'm sorry. I don't know how many books in Acts. You can pick one that you want. 26, then. So here, look what we got. We have those now upstairs. Now, Pentecost, you think, well, why do you call it Pentecost? Pentecost means 50. So it's been 50 days since the Master rose up from the grave. Okay? 40 days he walked upon the earth. Now he's been gone 10 days, and they've been hanging out there. And if you want to go back in the Old Testament, the first Pentecost was clear back in Exodus. And it was 50 days after God delivered Israel from Egypt. And it's a whole teaching there, okay? But it's been 50 days. So that's why they call it Pentecost, the 50th day. And that's why God said to celebrate this, because he wants to understand what it is to be his follower, his disciple, and understand the power that you have. But in chapter 2, verse 1 of Acts, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in their own language. Man, they're all speaking in different tongues, and people were hearing that. And some accused, man, these guys must be drunk. You know what I'm saying? But then man, he goes on and says, no, it's early in the morning yet. They're not drunk. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter, in verse 14, I won't read it all, but Peter then stands up. Peter is the one who denied Jesus three times. Peter is the one that said, listen, Lord, I don't care what happens to you. I'll go. I'll die with you. And Jesus said, listen, man, three times tonight, before the cock crows, three times you're going to deny me. And he did. But here he is now. He's baptized with the Holy Spirit. He stands up, and now he's standing up in front of the same ones. He's looking at the same people out there that crucified Jesus. The same ones that denied him his lordship, who say he's not deity. Peter is looking at them and saying, I want to tell you something, man. This guy Jesus that you crucified, he is the Son of God. He was telling them the same thing that Jesus had said. And the only way he could do that is because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Each one of the apostles and the disciples on down through stood boldly for Jesus because of the Holy Spirit that came upon them. Because when they said, I'm going to follow Jesus, they sold out to him and they watched out that nothing came upon them. They didn't step back into the world. They spent their time in Scripture. They spent their time praying. They spent their time following him. They sold out to him 100%. Wow. And the Master never forsake him. Never left him. He said, I'll be with you to the end of time. Man, that's what we celebrate today. That's what we remind ourselves. When we decide to follow Christ, and we are His disciple, He'll empower us. He'll meet our needs. He'll do whatever we need in order to further the kingdom of Jesus.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? That's the whole thing about this.
Yeah.
Is that this kingdom of heaven is for us to bring here upon the earth as we live, follow Him. Think of that. You know, there's I'm trying to think of the name of these folks, but they come from other countries. And they're all, they have some type of immunity. What do they call that? Help me out here. Political immunity, where you can't even arrest them because they live on the rules of their own country. Follow me on that? Probably not saying the right word on that, okay? Yeah, political. And so that's how we should live our life, according to the rules of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? We're ambassadors, and we represent the kingdom of God here on earth. And the only way we can do that is being strengthened by the Holy Spirit and deciding to follow Him. And we all said before, we've seen it before, that you say, I'm going to quit doing this. Bruce, I'm not playing pool no more. Don't call me no more. And then Bruce calls me up on a Friday night. Hey, you want to play pool tonight? Bruce. I'm not sure. Well, then, I'm not being yes or no, am I? I'm kind of like leading him on a little bit. So he's going to call me again. And pretty soon, if I don't watch out, I'm going to compromise and get back out and play pool again. And that's why I'm playing pool. I'm just using an example. But Bruce called me, hey, Starkey, you want to play pool tonight? Hey, Bruce, I don't play pool anymore. I get myself in trouble when I played pool. I don't want to play it anymore, you know. So don't bother to call me about the pool, but you know, you're still my friend. See, then Bruce knows where I'm standing at, right? Now he has to decide whether he still wants to have a friendship relationship with me or not, you know. I didn't insult Bruce, okay? I've decided not to do that anymore, you know. And so when we do that, when we make our yes, yes, our no's, no's, people might not, they might not be appreciative to what your yes and no's are, but they're going to respect you, at least that you stand upon what you believe in. And when you decide to follow Jesus, and you stand upon that, even though some people won't be excited that you are, you're going to find that they're going to respect it. At least there's somebody out here that will actually stand on something they believe. Because most people go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But again, he says those who want the Holy Spirit, ask the Father, and He'll send them. And they waited 10 days. And they were 10 days of praying and fasting. So I encourage you, man, if you don't have if you're following the Master, if you just don't have that, just call upon Him and say, God, I want it all. You know? And spend your time seeking Him more and more. And let Him just fill you. Let you be as empowered as God wants to. You know? Amen? Any questions on what I've said today?